But as I mentioned, we are going to talk some hockey. We are joined by an analyst for NHL Network. More than 14 years in professional hockey. He helped lead the Carolina Hurricanes to the 2002 Stanley Cup Final. Second round draft pick in 1993. Part of NHL Network's extensive All-Star Game coverage in San Jose. It includes live editions before and after the skills competition and the All-Star Game. Kevin Weeks is my guest. Kevin, good to have you back. How are you?
Romy, I'm great, man. Great to hear you, man. It's been a while since Vegas Stanley Cup Finals.
You're right.
Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it's good to have you back, Kevin. Thanks so much. All right, so All-Star Weekend, Kevin, starts tomorrow with the skills competition tomorrow night, and then you've got the game on Saturday. What is that All-Star Weekend like, and what are you looking forward to seeing the most?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's bananas. The atmosphere is always great, especially with it being out here in San Jose, too. San Jose's got great fans. An old-school arena. You know, we've got a lot of beautiful facilities around the league now, but San Jose has an older kind of intimate feeling in terms of the rink itself. They've got very passionate fans out here in NorCal that love their team. But one of the great things about our league events is that we have NHL fans from around the world that travel to come to events. So that's what's going to make it special. So it's going to be, that atmosphere will be real electric in and around the rink, downtown San Jose, et cetera. And then what I'm looking forward to is really just seeing all the different people in the game, seeing a lot of the different players. We have a lot of skilled young players in the league now. I mean, we have first-time All-Stars like Clayton Keller, who plays for the Arizona Coyotes, has won. Miro Heiskanen for the Dallas Stars, who's 19 years old. In his rookie season, he's an NHL All-Star. Thomas Chabot, the young defenseman for the Ottawa Senators, who now this is really his second full season, if you will. That's an NHL All-Star and a first-time All-Star. And for a lot of you fans in the Pacific Northwest, with Seattle just being granted the 32nd franchise, keep an eye on Vancouver's Elias Pettersson. This kid's absolutely dynamic, and he's an All-Star in his first year in the league as well as a rookie, much like they had Brock Besser last year that won the accurate shooting competition. So a lot of young stars. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to see incredible skill and talent. So that's going to be sweet tomorrow night with the skills competition. And then today, of course, we'll have all our coverage from Media Day, live from Media Day. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Kevin Weeks doing what Kevin Weeks does, breaking it all down. Kevin, one more thought about San Jose. Let's talk about the Sharks since you're there. When you look at what Erik Karlsson and Brent Burns are doing on defense, and then when you consider what they have on offense, how impressive are the Sharks to you right now?
The Sharks are super impressive. They're a deep team. Their GM, Doug Wilson, has done an amazing job. They've always been consistent, as you know, Romy. But I think they've taken it to a different level, even compared to their team that went to the Stanley Cup against Pittsburgh 2 years ago. I feel like this Sharks team is deeper. When you've got Brent Burns that's won a Norris Trophy, and you have Erik Karlsson who's won two of them, I mean, to have those two defensemen in your lineup, they're cooking with gas with their team. I love the depth that they have up front. Jumbo Joe Thornton is continuing to do what he does. He's another future Hall of Famer. They might end up having three on this team when it's all said and done, maybe four. Joe Pavelski, their captain, who plays college hockey at Wisconsin and won a national championship. He's been excellent. They've just got a lot of pieces, man. Evander Kane is heated up. He looks really good. So I think the biggest challenge for the Sharks right now is Marty Jones, their goalie, who can be outstanding and who helped carry them to the Stanley Cup final. He's a little bit off of his level right now. I think he probably has two levels up to go in his game. So once he rediscovers that form consistently, look out for the Sharks. They're currently, right now at this point, they're second in the Pacific to the Calgary Flames, who've been the biggest surprise in the league. They play great hockey. Calgary's number one in the Western Conference right now. So, that's of course, they're both in the same Pacific Division. But I'm looking forward to the races here in the second half of the season, right down to Game 82, the last game of the regular season.
Kevin Weeks, NHL Network analyst. We're talking about the All-Star Weekend. Kevin, what about Tampa Bay? They've got the best record in the league right now. Does that make them the team to beat, though, in your mind?
I love Tampa. Steve Yzerman did a great job there. He's no longer there as the GM. He's still there in a managerial capacity. But they're exciting to watch. That's a real dynamic team. They got a lot of skill. They, too, are loaded, you know, starting in the net with their all-star, Andrei Vasilevsky. Even in his absence, Louis Domingue played very well. They've got all the pieces. My one thing, Rolly, though, my one thing with Tampa, and we've talked about this with our boy Tony Luffman, Mike Rupp, Alex Tangay, some of our different people on the NHL Network, some of our team. The one thing that I'm curious to see is once the playoffs come, can they win those 2-1 games? Sure, so they can shut you down. But are they willing to be physical enough? That's my one thing. You know, Stanley Cup playoffs is a whole different animal. and it feels as though the rink, the regulation size of the rink is 200 by 85 feet. But in the playoffs, I always say it feels like it gets down to 150 by 50.
Right.
So I'm curious to see if they've got the jam, if they've got that physicality in them. That'll be my only thing that will, that potentially is a question mark for me. But aside from that, they're very much a Stanley Cup contender, no question.
Kevin Weeks joining us. Kevin, I got to ask you about the Islanders. I mean, it's amazing. They were seventh in the Metropolitan Division last year. They bring in Barry Trotz in the offseason. Now they're in first in the division. How do you explain that turnaround that quickly?
I'll tell you, Romy, and I hope we have some time for this. I remember talking to Barry Trotz. We talked to Barry Trotz last year, the night they won the Cup in Vegas. We spoke to him in the lobby for about an hour. This is, okay, all being told, about 2, 3 in the morning.
Right.
We're having to fly back home to Jersey. But Trotzy is one of the best coaches in all of sports, not just the NHL, but all of sports. He has the perfect balance between tactician and humanitarian, and that's what you need. And from a tactical standpoint, he believes in a defense-first system, in a team-first system. He told us a story last year about when he first got to Washington to coach the Capitals. He organized a team field trip to go to the monument, and he said, guys, we're going to take this picture as a sign for those people that have served the nation, but also as a sign of our commitment to each other, and we're coming back here when we win the Stanley Cup. 4 years later, they were able to do that. So I got goosebumps when he was telling us about that. But specifically with this Islander group, you know, it starts with Lou Lamoriello, who I had in New Jersey, who's one of the best managers in all of sport, one of the best leaders in all of sport as their general manager. You know, as an example, I was at Madison Square Garden last week. They were playing against the Rangers. Post-game, I'm down in the lobby by their locker room. They have a full post-game meal set up outside the locker room for the visiting team in Madison Square Garden. I've never seen that before in all my years playing at the Garden and or broadcasting. So that's the attention to detail is what I'm telling you, which starts with Lou, and then it filters through Coach Trotz and his staff. So he's done an amazing job, man. Every one of the players is pumped up. They're committed to playing that style. They have that structure, and they have the lowest goals against average in the league, lowest goals against in the league, and last year they were the highest. So that speaks to the transformation. It's a testament to him and the staff, Lou, and the players.
You knew it would change. You knew it would improve. But to see it change that dramatically, that quickly, is amazing. You know, Kevin, I could argue that if you want to talk about any position in sports in terms of it being unique or challenging, maybe you start a quarterback in the NFL. And I just say that maybe. But if not that, then goalie in the NHL. And you could speak to what it's like between the pipes. I mean, as a goalie, you're in the spotlight every single time you play. Other guys might have an off night. People may not notice. But if you have a bad night, everybody's going to know. When you played the game, how did you go about dealing with that pressure night to night and game to game?
That's a great question, man. You know what? It started being a kid. It really did. It started playing, you know, youth hockey back in Toronto for the Toronto Red Wings as a kid. And I remember if I would let in a bad goal, the odd bad goal, not forget my teammates, even you're 8 years old, right? So your teammates, they would be giving you the eye roll. Like, dude, come on, really? But then some of the parents, not mine, but some of the parents in the stands, you'd see them roll their eyes and go, oh, Kev, come on. So that started as a year-old, literally. And it continued, you know, all the way as I always played at the highest levels as a kid and then playing in junior hockey, same thing, and then playing pro. And it never changes. So one way that I would just deal with that is that I would always do a reset after goals, especially after I got a little bit older. I would always do a reset. I would do an affirmation to myself, hey, this is my moment. I'm the best. I'm ready to roll. This is my moment. I'm the best. I'm ready to roll. I see it. I stop it. If I could see it, I stop it. Just some positive self-talk, some deep breathing. And, you know, that was a way of me being able to kind of, I wouldn't say cope, but deal with that element of the game, the stressors. Deep breathing, visualization was a big part of it for me, too, the night before games, the day of games, my pregame nap, or when I get to the locker room getting dressed, starting out on the ice. And just doing a lot of mental work that you see a lot of Olympic athletes because, you know, they've got every 4 years. They're bigger on mental work and mental preparation. It's something I did inherently as a kid, but I really focused on that a lot once I got to the pro level, and I feel like that helped me. And lastly, Romy, having great people around you, having a great family that's really understanding. I think for me, the best part of the irony of me being a player and then becoming the first black broadcaster in NHL history is that my parents are from Barbados. So there was no pressure. There was no inherent pressure from home that I had to play or I had to make it. My parents were just learning. My sister, they were just learning as I went along. And their love and support was extremely important. So I was very fortunate for that. But all those things kind of helped and coincided with dealing with the pressures. Because, Romy, here's the thing, right? I was just gobbling up this Patrick Mahomes kid. I love this kid. Can't get enough of him. Love his game. Love his demeanor. I mean, TB12 is the closest thing to Mike that we've probably seen, as in MJ23, as far as dominance.
Sure.
But I would tell you this. Mahomes, in watching this kid, even at the quarterback position, this is the closest, and then pitching to goalies. There's no red light that goes on if those guys throw a pick. Everybody in the building knows that they throw a pick, but there's no red light that goes on behind them. So I think being a goalie is the only sport and the only role, the only job, right? If you make a mistake, or even if you don't, and something gets by you, the red light goes on behind. So it's a way of keeping you humble.
Kevin Weeks, my guest. Kevin, one last thought. Then the connection's not great, but I really want to ask you this. I think it's important.
Sure.
I want to talk to you about this. On Martin Luther King Day, the NHL Network re-aired your interview with hockey pioneer Willie O'Ree, the first black player in NHL history. What's it like for you anytime you get any chance to spend time with him?
That's a great question. I appreciate you asking. I mean, our league owes a lot to Willie, to the Jackie Robinson of our sport. And ironically, Willie met Jackie as a young boy when Willie was a young boy playing in a baseball tournament. He told me the story about how he met Jackie Robinson and how he inspired him. And after he got to the NHL, he met Jackie Robinson again. And Mr. Robinson said, "Hey, and the kid that I met that played hockey." So it was really full circle. But I would say this, you know, I was fortunate to be able to spend a lot of time with Willie to this point, doing stuff for the league, different initiatives, hockey camps for girls and boys all across the country. And one thing that's really impressive, Romy, is two things I should say. Number one, his level of energy and passion for the sport. And number two, his perseverance, his level of perseverance. He persevered so much in his life to be able to overcome, you know, a lot of the racial challenges in playing a sport, especially at that time, and then being the first player, not necessarily being evaluated, you know, on the same plane, and still loving the game, still being a huge, huge supporter of the game, still being in rinks now. I was with him in that rink when we did that interview last year in Boston, and he literally had the rink, he had everybody's full captive, undivided attention that Saturday morning. And he was talking to all the parents, all the girls and boys that played, all the coaches, all the volunteers. So his passion and his perseverance are certainly are very, very exemplary. And you know what? When I see what he's done for the game, and Commissioner Bettman as well, and Commissioner's appreciation for what Willie means, I think that sets the tone. And sometimes we don't always have people that are on their best behavior, because, as you know, sometimes people, they feel that people aren't supposed to do certain things. So you're a visible minority. You're not, quote-unquote, supposed to play hockey, or you're not supposed to. And he's helped to redefine that. And by all of his work and the league's work on that, that's gone a long way. So the next time you see somebody misbehaving in an arena that says something inappropriate, you can always point back to the great Willie O'Ree and those of us that were fortunate to follow his footsteps. You can also point back to Commissioner Bettman, both of them now enshrined in the Hockey Hall of Fame. And, you know, their relentless kind of drive to help grow our sport from coast to coast and also internationally, so we can have a lot of different girls and boys here in California, in Vegas, in soon-to-be Seattle, in Wisconsin, in Michigan, that otherwise would only be streamlined and play football or play hoops or run track or play baseball. Hockey's an option for them. And the same thing for a lot of adults at the rec level. You know, I see a lot of people in New York that work in finance and work in different things that still play adult rec hockey. And back home in Jersey, too, the same thing. So we want as many people as possible to be able to enjoy our sport. We've got a great sport, and we want to share it with any and everybody that wants to be a part of it.
He is an NHL Network analyst, and again, part of the NHL Network's coverage of the All-Star Game in San Jose. You've got live editions before and after the skills competition and the All-Star Game. More than 14 years in the professional ranks. Kevin Weeks, my guest. Kevin, great to get caught up. Really appreciate it, and especially before All-Star Weekend. Great to have you back here.
Romy, thanks so much for having me on, and also thanks to all the fans that watch us on the NHL Network, man. We appreciate all you sports fans and you hockey fans. We love you. Thanks so much.
You got it, Kevin. Take care. Be good. Kevin Weeks joining us. All right. Ran a little heavy and well worth it. Glad we did. Always good to talk some hockey on this program. You know that.